Open your Bibles at the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. The Gospel of Luke has its commencement with a 6-month date of the angel who visited Mary the Virgin. And what a visit that was. Open your Bible at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And note with me what is said about this visit. At the verse 39, and we read that Mary arose after she had this vision. Verse 26 of the first chapter of Luke, mark it well. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. What an announcement! And what a visit. We have here the special announcement that the prophecy made to our fallen parents in Eden was to be fulfilled. And that a Savior was to be born. And what a Savior. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. As I have already said, I have read the Gospel hundreds of times. But only this week, as I was preparing this message, did I discover something. That every one of the Gospels has a theme. And all the Gospels take that theme and they expound it. The theme, of course, of Luke's Gospel is the theme of Christ's journey to the cross. That's what this gospel is about. And all the people he met on his way to the cross. It'll take you some time reading that and taking that all in. Why were all these people mentioned? Why? And why did we come to see a Christ always walking? Only once he did not walk on the journey to the cross. And that was the fact that he was put on the ass's back and he was brought into Jerusalem riding on the colt, the foal of the ass. Otherwise, Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, walked. And everybody he mentioned is mentioned that he met has a special reason to be mentioned and a special doctrine to be taught and a special truth to bring out. This is true of Luke's gospel. This is also true of Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel and, of course, John's gospel. So when you read the gospels, open your eyes and discover, first of all, what is the message of this gospel? The message of the gospel of Luke is, as I have said, Christ's journey to the cross. And it finishes with the end of the journey. And where does the end of the journey rest? It rests in heaven, hallelujah, where he takes the throne. When the nations bow the knee, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. All I can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. And your photograph is in the Gospel of Luke. Maybe you don't recognize yourself in Jewish garb, but it's there. And all the saints are all there, a picture of their problems, of their sins, of their wickedness, of their shame. But also a witness to the grace that saved them and kept them and brought them safely to the glory land. Would you open your Bible at Luke 1 and look at verse 26? And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth. Here is the announcement of a special messenger. One of the most special messages ever sent from God's throne to this fallen world. It was a message about the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. How holy and almighty was this angelic message? Look with me at verse 35, and you will read there the answer of the angel. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. This was a working of the third person of the adorable Trinity, bringing the humanity of the God-man to its birth in the womb of the Virgin. We hold our breath as we think of all that that means. And we are told that this is done by the power of the Highest. And that power shall overshadow thee. That was said to Mary. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How did the Son of God become the Son of Man? You have the secret there in this text. How holy and mighty was this angelic message. You turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 26. This was a 6-month angel visit, taken from the time the angel spoke to Zacharias in the temple until this 6-month period had elapsed. And what do we find? We find, as we look at the verses 31 to 33, some of the secrets of the wonder of God. Let me read you verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Here we have the commencement of his road to the cross. He could not die if he had remained only God the Son. He had to become God the Son of Man. How can God become man and dwell amongst us? Only God is able to do that. That is the word which you read, God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. You know, the angels never saw God before. You just think about that. They only saw God at the throne amidst the fire of his Godhead. But now they see him seen of angels. But there's something that's not for angels. It's for men, preached unto the Gentiles. It is in the preaching of the gospel that we find the miracle of the virgin birth and all that flows from that miracle. What a veil is broken, and what a visit has been announced. The virgin child. Miracle of all miracles. But secondly, there's not only the child, there is the son. Because in verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So he was not only the child, but he was the Son. And he was named. What was he called? He was called the Great One and the Son of the Highest. And then we read on, and we discover something more, that Christ was called the Savior. The Savior. Verse 32, he shall be great. Oh, how great he is. The greatest of all. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He was born to be enthroned, but he must first of all die on the cross. He must die on the cross. Can God die? No, but the God-man can die. And he died as the God-man on the cross. Oh, the bleeding lamb. Oh, the bleeding lamb. Oh, the bleeding lamb. He was found worthy. And then we read, he was to be great. How great he was. How great he is. How great he ever will be. King of kings. Lord of lords. And then he was to take the throne of his father. Yes. And he was also to reign over the house of Jacob. All these things came about as step by step. He made his way to the cross. Without the cross, there can be no king. Without the cross, there can be no pardon. Without the cross, there can be no gospel. Without the cross, the world sinks down into shame and damnation. But thank God, there is a cross, and he carried it, and he lay down upon it, and he hung upon it, but he left it, was laid in a tomb, but the third day he broke the bars, the third day he arose in triumph, and thank God we can say today, he lives! Christ Jesus lives today. Oh, what a living Savior he is. And what a blessed thing it is to know his life within our hearts. How did Mary take this message? This young girl, isolated, alone, in her own house in Nazareth. She had no unbelief. She had faith. And if you look with me at that chapter, you will find that her response was very, very wonderful. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word. There you have the everlasting foundation of salvation according to the word of God. Thank God that word can never fail. Thank God that word never grows old. Thank God it's everlasting and it is sure. Oh, how simple was the reception that Mary made. Look at verse 41. And verse 40. to verse 45. And you'll find what Mary and her cousin spoke about. And they spoke together. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. The blessed Mary and her blessing. We turn over to chapter 3 now, and I want to make a comment to you upon the verses 21 to 22. And what do we read there? And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Ah, there we have his name. He shall what? Save his people in their sins? No. He will save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 2. And we have it there. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, were accomplished, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Isn't it wonderful that it was an angel's lips who first gave him the name Jesus? There's a mystery about the naming of Christ. Take your New Testament. Start reading from Matthew and Mark. Who were the first persons who named him Jesus? And when you call him Jesus, then you call him by his name. No wonder that great old Scottish preacher wrote about the Lamb being found worthy, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know where the time has gone. I thought I was just speaking 5 minutes, and here the time has gone. But someday, meet me at Glory Square, and I'll preach you a sermon the like of which you never heard before. And we'll have all eternity. And there'll be no one with rheumatism in their elbows or sore feet with corns. We'll all have everlasting bodies, everlasting health. And we will dwell in the kingdom of God forever. I picked up an old book from my many tens of thousands of volumes that I have. And I came upon these words. I'd like to read them to you. It's a hymn. It was written by a man called Joseph Swain. Sweet is the thought that I shall know the man who suffered here below to manifest his love. For me and these whom I love best are here with himself at rest in the bright realms above. Not all things else are half so dear as his delightful presence here. What must it be on high? His word, as in the church is known, falls like a shower of blessings down and makes them shout for joy. And how must his celestial voice make our enraptured hearts rejoice when from his gracious throne he calls us to come near his seat, and we at his once pierced feet our diadems cast down. Come in, thou blessed, sit by me. With my own life I ransom thee. The Lord to each will say, then how shall dwell with me at home? Ye blissful mansions, make him room forever here to stay. When Jesus thus invites us in, how will the heavenly host begin to shout us welcome home? Come in, come in. The blissful sound will make the crystal walls resound for joy that we are come. And someday I'll hear my Savior say to me, home at last. And I will fall at his feet, and my lips shall press the mark of the nails in his feet, and heaven for me will have begun. And remember, it's a heaven that shall never, never end. You're maybe here today and you're not saved. You haven't eternal life. Oh, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in our midst, he has shown us a way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Come, for all things are now ready. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy sweet presence and thy sweet peace. Write the word upon our heart. And may we diligently follow the Lamb whithersoever he shall lead us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with me now and forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Amen.